I want you to imagine a parent, a father or a mother, at the dining room table doing math homework with their child. And in so doing, inspiring a future engineer or accountant. I want you to picture a father or a mother who's worked week in and week out, 70, 80 hours a week to put food on the table, but doesn't know their kid's favorite color. I want you to imagine a parent passed out on the couch next to an empty bottle when their kids arrive home from school. Or a parent reading bedtime stories with their kids each night. I want you to imagine parents who have kicked their 16-year-old child out of the home because they found out that he was gay. And parents who spend their time advocating for opportunities for their child with a disability. So many examples of what parenthood looks like. And every person in this room has had a different experience of their own parents, what it is to be a child, a son or a daughter. And many of you have had different experiences of what it is to be a parent. And for all of this diversity and complexity in our Ten Commandments, we have one command. And it goes like this. Honor your father and your mother as Yahweh your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this is one of our shorter scripture readings that we've had, and yet I really think that this, of all of the Ten Commandments, is the most complicated. Not necessarily the hardest, but the most complicated because of what we've just talked about, because of the wide range of experiences of parenthood and being a child that we've all had, and to try and figure out what does this look like? What do these few words right here, what do these look like in all of these different contexts and experiences? And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to share with you the process here. We're going to start with the basics. We're just going to look at the words of this command. I'm going to make a few points that I think help us to understand what's going on here. And then I'm going to share some suggestions or thoughts on what honoring our parents looks like for us today before closing up with Jesus and how this command relates to us as Christians. So the basics, just the command. The command is honor your father and mother. And this word can be a challenge. Sometimes it can be wielded as a way of implying blind obedience or loyalty to a parent. That is not what this word means. To honor means to give weight to. And we have this in our language too. It's the same in Hebrew. The word can be used for something that is simply heavy. Like if I picked up a big rock or boulder. I could have come up with a better example than that, probably. But if I pick up a big boulder, I could say this is heavy, and it would be kind of the same word for honor. It's a word that was extended from its literal meaning to its metaphorical meaning. And we have the same idea today. So we can say something weighs a lot or is weighty literally. But if I said, or if we were going out, you're going out after the service today, and you said, that was a really weighty sermon, I would know that it was something that had impact, that had significance, that was important in some way. And that's what it means to honor your father and mother, to give weight to them. There's a significance and importance there. So that's what honor means. And then there's this promise. I think it's more of not even a prediction, but a picture of what will happen if this honoring takes place. So that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that Yahweh your God is giving to you. Now, this little purpose or promise is not about you individually on an individual basis. It's not saying if you honor your father and mother, you'll live longer. You'll live to, 90 instead of 70 or anything like that. It's talking about the covenant people. Remember, Moses is preaching the law, God's instruction to the people before they enter the promised land. And he's saying, if you do this, this next phase in the story of God and his people will be one that endures and bears fruit. As you enter into this promised land, if you really want this to be a fruitful and enduring phase in this story, honor your father and your mother, so that it may go well for the covenant people in the promised land. So again, this isn't just an individual command with an individual promise. This is talking about how we relate as generations, as a community, or as a society. So those are the basics of the command. And then that 3 points I want to make about what I think helps us interpret and understand the relevance of these today. The first point I want to make is that, as we've talked about in this series so far, the law or the Torah, the instruction that God gives, serves wisdom. It does not serve control or moralism or behavior management. So the purpose of the law is not particular behaviors. It is that we would grow into wise people, if that makes any sense. And so this commandment in particular, as all of them, should lead us into wisdom. It should not be used as a threat or a shutdown or an unqualified vindication of my rightness as a parent. It should not be used as a tool to get my children to do what I want them to do. It is to lead us into wisdom. At the same time, it should lead us into wisdom. And so I think sometimes if we have had particularly harmful parents, say, I don't even want that command. That command isn't relevant to me because my parents were terrible parents. And I would suggest that we don't immediately throw it out because you have had or do have bad parents. The context, again, is important. This is Deuteronomy, so this is the generation that's about to enter the promised land. Who were their parents? Their parents, the ones that Moses is preaching to right now, were the generation that was delivered out of Egypt and then spent about 40 years in the wilderness complaining, right? Disobeying, resisting the ongoing liberating work that God was trying to do in this community. These are the parents that this generation is being told to honor. So I would offer that God is, that we can glean some wisdom from this command, no matter the quality of our own parents. Because the law serves wisdom. It's not just about control or behavior. Second point I want to make is that there is a reason for these 10 commandments being here at the forefront of the law and together. And the reason is not that these are God's 10 moral absolutes that he could just write in the sky for all people of all times. In fact, remember, when Jesus is asked what are the two or what is the greatest commandment, he doesn't even mention one of these 10. He mentions one from a chapter later, and then one from this place in Leviticus, right? So he doesn't even mention these two. There's a reason that these 10 are put where they're put. And to understand that these are specific commandments to these people who have just experienced God's liberation from slavery and are about to enter a promised land and become a new nation helps us to interpret what this command is all about. So Rich Velotis, pastor in New York, he says this, God doesn't give random arbitrary commands. He gives commands that correspond with how they have been shaped. He asks then, what has been happening for 400 years that God would make this commandment, that this would make the list? So this is the question we need to ask. He goes on to help us answer the question. He reminds us that the people for 400 years have been shaped by slavery, by being slaves, and what all of that meant, not just politically and socially, but psychologically. And he says this is important because for 400 years, no one was treated with honor. For 400 years, no one was treated with respect. For 400 years, no one was treated with dignity. And I think, given this context, we might ask whether this isn't even as much about children, little children and their parents, as it is about how we treat the aging members of our community. Because as slaves, who in particular is the most dishonored? It's the one who has aged out of their ability to produce and to profit and to prosper their masters. It's those who no longer have economic value to those who are profiting from them. And so, as that generation ages and can no longer produce as much, they become actually, from an economic standpoint, a liability. These are mouths to feed who are not contributing to our well-being as slave masters. I think this gives us a little bit of insight into what this command is all about. It's not primarily for children. It's primarily about our connection and the interdependence of the generations within a community, that we don't just cast certain people aside based on their ability to produce for us and how they are of interest to us. Joan Chittister, one of Dave's favorite writers. It's a joke. He's not a big fan. Anyway, she writes, this command keeps us in touch with our roots. It forces us to remember what we are most likely, even most eager to forget. It refuses to allow us to discard yesterday in favor of a present dedicated to the glorification of self. It is not simply a mandate to remember the past, but to be aware through it of our own responsibility to the future. We learn to consider the past seriously and the future thoughtfully. And part of why she says this is because this does go back the generation, right? Honor your father and mother. But that it may go well for you for many years in the land. It's talking about generations to come. So this commandment in itself is bridging and connecting the generations within the community. So that's the second point. The third point I want to make is that the lens with which we read the scriptures, and this commandment in particular, matters. And I had this realization this week because I was reading it, and I think because of how it's been taught and how I've heard it before and how it's been used before, I'm seeing it in the context of a parent commanding their children to do something, and the child, hopefully, if they're obeying this commandment properly, obeying and doing that thing. So I was reading this commandment in the context with the picture of a command and obedience lens. And I realized that I really don't think that that's the best or the first context for understanding what God is saying here. I would offer that this command is less about the kind of the transaction of the words of a command and the obedience, the behavior of obedience, and more about the relationship and the personhood of the parent and the child. So I'm going to give you another context, another picture for how to think of this. Of course, in the Ten Commandments, there are no specific commandments to parents, but that doesn't mean that there aren't throughout the scriptures. In fact, the one we just read The text we just read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." That one, in Deuteronomy 6, is followed directly by, "Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And so the picture of parenting here is not just telling your kids what to do. It's about inviting them into the ways of the Lord. It's about passing along the story. It's about conveying wisdom and building up your children in wisdom, not just in a formal setting, but wherever you go, when you wake up, when you lie down, when you're walking outside, when you're at home, when you're in the market, wherever you are teaching, you are instructing your children in the ways of God. And so I had this realization that perhaps when we read "honor your father and mother," instead of picturing parents trying to manage their kids' behavior, perhaps we should picture parents sitting around the table with their children, sharing the story of liberation, passing along the wisdom of God's instruction. In this case, to honor your parents is not so merely just doing what they say, but receiving what they have to give and respecting who they are as people. This commandment reminds us that your life is not just your story. It's participating in a bigger story. That there are all kinds of stories that have come together to make you you, not least of which the story of your parents and the people who raise you and nurture you. And so in this context, their parents were the ones who could share and had experienced that story of liberation. Give them weight. Receive what they have to give. Don't act like you're the first one to follow God. Don't act like you're the first one to be a free person. Like, honor your parents. Honor those who have come before. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Literally, of course, but also in a spiritual and cultural sense. That's my third point, the lens with which we read the commands. And so I want to suggest a few thoughts on what it looks like to honor our parents. And I've ordered these in a way that the first ones are really more geared towards those who have had really negative or harmful experiences with their parents. So it's kind of the least that you can do to honor your parents who have been harmful to you. And as we go, there's more possibilities of what honoring our parents could look like. So that's the order. There is some order to these. The first thought is, appreciate that you've made it this far. Right? No matter who our parents were, no matter what they've done, we can appreciate that we've made it this far, that you are a living human being. At some point, your parents participated in the gift of life that God was giving you. And at some point, there were at least your parents or someone else who nurtured that life so that you could be here today. And that isn't to say that that life can't have been filled with tragedy or trauma or pain or evil. But there is something to be said for the gift of life. And your parents have participated that to some extent. And so you can appreciate that gift of life. Second, we can recognize the objective fact of a parent's weight in our lives. What I mean by that is whether we are actively honoring our parents or not, your parents, our parents, have the most impact on us of anyone else in the world. They shape us in ways that no one else does. They influence us in ways beyond, above and beyond anyone else. And study after study after study bears that out. Your experience as a child, whether you are reacting against it or following in it, Your experience as a child has impacted you in deep and powerful ways. And actually, to ignore that fact, we ignore that fact at our own peril. We cannot be free until we recognize the weight that our parents have had on our lives. And so again, for good, with all the best intentions and all the best practices of our parents, or for ill, your parents have shaped you. Your parents have impacted you. Your parents have had a weight in you becoming who you are today. And so to honor them, in a sense, to give weight to them, is to just recognize the impact that's already there. From there, you can go in a lot of directions. But until you recognize it, you're going to be stuck in it. So recognize the fact of your parents' weight in your life. Third, acknowledge your parents' humanity. Acknowledge your parents' humanity. All of us are mixed bags. So to idolize our parents and to act like they were the greatest people in the world, that's not honoring them. And it's not true. All of us are a mixed bag. To reject our parents and condemn them is also not honoring them. Because your parents, like you, are part of a bigger story. The best that your parents offered to you, someone at some point contributed to their life. Someone at some point spurred them on to better new realms of being human and loving people and so on. And we recognize that our parents were a part of that story. And so the best in our parents wasn't just about them. It was about God's work in their life. It was about maybe their parents before them, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. It was about their community. It was about a lot of things. And so we acknowledge that part of their humanity. And we know that hurt people hurt people. So the ways in which your parents were harmful to you, at some point they had someone in their life who was harmful to them as well. And that's not an excuse. I mean, we do make our decisions. It's just a reality. We are all part of a bigger story. I understand right now that as a parent, there are ways I'm contributing good to my children's lives, and there are things that I'm consciously or unconsciously contributing to their lives that they're going to have to go to counseling for later on in life. That's just the reality. All of us are mixed bags. All of us are human. So all of us can acknowledge our parents' humanity. And that is a way of honoring them. Fourth, mind the perspective gap. This is something we do at my house sometimes. You say, look, I get it. You've been around this long, and you have seen this much of the world. Mom and Dad have been around this long, and we've seen this much of the world. And of course, there are some of you who my arms are not big enough. No offense. For you've been along longer and you've seen more of the world, right? And there is just that reality. And that's, I think, part of honoring our parents is recognizing at some level that they have experiences that we don't have, that they've picked up on things that we haven't picked up on. And it's not to say that as you get older, as you learn, as you experience different things, you might have certain perspectives that your parents don't have. That's true too. But at the very least, your parents have lived a little bit longer. So when I say, you know, do your project, start your project early, right? When I was a kid, I had the perspective of I don't really want to do this project right now. It's not due for another 3 weeks. And I just want to go out and play. That was my perspective. But now when I say that because I've been in that place, freaking out the night before a project was due, when I should have started, like I have that, I've seen more, I've been around more, I've seen more. And to honor our parents, at some level, we can mind that perspective gap, right? Not blind obedience, but to just be aware there's more there. I think we're on fifth. Give them a voice at your table. Give your parents a voice at your table. And by that I mean, all of us have a table up here where a bunch of voices sit around and help us decide what we're going to do and how we're going to live. Those voices come from a variety of places. They can come from people we know. They can come from people on TV. They can come from books we've read. We have all these voices around trying to tell us, how should I live? What should I do here? And we can all give our parents a voice at that table. Now here, you can turn the volume up and down on that. All right? So the more your parents have shown that they are love, that they love you, and that they have wisdom, turn up the volume. If your parents, the more that they have shown that they have their own self-interest in mind and not yours, and that they are lacking in wisdom, and you see that in their life, especially as you get older, you can turn the volume down on that. But to honor our parents is to give them a voice to the extent that they have shown love and wisdom to us, to give them a voice at our tables. Sixth, I think we're at six. Hold your parents up to Jesus. And by this I mean both. You can pray for them, no matter what. You can offer them into God's presence and say, I don't know what to pray, but you love them, God, and hold them up to Jesus. But I also mean that as you hold them up to Jesus, you see how Jesus' light reflects through them. And you hold on to that. And you thank God for that. And you live into that. And there might be ways that Jesus' light is blocked by them, and you turn from that, and you let go of that. It does not honor our parents to continue harmful patterns of behavior and relating to one another. And yeah, it might have been going on in your family for years, and this is just how we do it. It does not honor them by holding on to that. It does honor them by taking what is good. Your parents, ultimately, in the grand scope of things, do not want you to just take their life and live into it. They want you to take what is of Christ and let go of what is not, as best you're able. Seventh, then, thank them for ways that they have imparted love and wisdom to you. Okay? Some of us may have to search for that. Some of us may not have enough, you know, little note cards in the world to try and share all those thank yous to our parents. But do it as much as you're able. And then lastly, give weight to their need. This goes back to the complexities and the difficulty of aging. And I'm not telling you, anyone here, you know, if your parents are aging and have significant medical needs that you can't handle, that you have to take them into your home and whatever. I'm not saying that. It's complicated. We live in a complicated time, but I am saying just because your parents can't sustain themselves anymore, any longer, just because they are not, you don't see how they're contributing to your life anymore, doesn't mean you just let them go. So give weight to their need. In other words, treat them the way you would want your kids to treat you when you're that age, when you're going through that. Okay? Okay. Those are all the suggestions I have for us this morning. I'm sure there are more. I'm sure there are plenty more, but y'all don't want to be here all day. I don't think. Honor your father and mother is a command that spans from past to future. It's about the way we honor our roots and our sources of life. And it's not just for their good. Honoring your father and mother is not just for their good. It's not just for your good. It is also for the good of the generations to come in your community. It is not about idolization or blind obedience or loyalty on one hand, and nor does it allow for a complete rejection or narcissistic tunnel vision on the other. It is about giving weight to our roots, even as we live into our freedom and our calling. As Christians, then, Jesus amplifies this command and extends it. Because God is interested in a family. God became our brother that we might know God as our parent. And so each generation, then, in the church, we must make sure that they understand that they are rooted in a bigger story. We must invite them to be guided and nurtured by God, their Father, and the church, their mother, to receive the stories and the practices that help us to be more fully human and more fully free in the love of God. So as we approach the communion table this morning, we remember this family, that we are brothers and sisters, that we honor God, our Father, but we also honor the church and those generations that have come before us as our mother. And so let's sing together as we begin to approach this table, this family table.